not many things make me uncomfortable. If you know me, that made me uncomfortable. So did that. My dad said, that's all right. I can't even get my laptop open. I'm so flustered up here. I'll probably forget the password. Here we go. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight, and I just want to reiterate what my dad said. Kai has done just a fantastic job leading worship, and yeah, give him a hand. And I wish I could play the guitar like he's played the guitar at, are you 18 yet? He's 17 years old. How about that, huh? And Andrew up here on the drums, I remember it was like yesterday, my brother was 12 years old on the drums, and the Lord has brought us a long way, amen, and we're thankful. And that's Dad, stop, you're going to get me all wound up. When you sow your kids into God's house, he can do with people what you could never manufacture. You couldn't even dream it. You couldn't pay for it. No amount of money, no amount of manipulation. When you just give them to the Lord, not in a dedication service like some of us want to. We want it like a Big Mac. But when you give them to the Lord week after week, month after month, year after year, God does an amazing thing. And doesn't make them weird. Doesn't make them, it makes them different. Makes them set apart. And let me just say, I'm 21 years out of high school this year, and the Lord has blessed me in a tremendous way. And I believe with all my heart that it's because my parents made a decision to do something very unpopular in the culture we live in. It's just to totally commit your whole family to the Lord. And I applaud you tonight for, it's 70 degrees out. How many of you know I thought about a campfire when I pulled out of my driveway? I'm as holy a sinner as you are, and but the Lord is good. And I want to get right to the word. I'm thankful for my parents, as always, the pastors, the leaders of this place that have labored so much to make nights like tonight possible. Give to the Lord. Give your tithes and offerings. The lights don't turn on their own. The bill comes every month, and the bill gets sent out. Praise the Lord. All our bills are paid, and I believe God is, he's blessing this place. But give to the Lord, honor the Lord. We're going to have pizza, chicken wings, and salad after service for Miss Judy for her birthday. For Mr. Jim Booty and Miss Robin Booty for their birthdays this week. And it costs money, so pay for it, would you? Amen. Give the Lord a tithe and an offering. Amen. You like it straight like that, don't you? Just, hey, just give it to me real. It's coming real tonight. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, and I want to read something to you and jump right into it tonight, because we want to eat something before we eat something out back there tonight. And the scripture says this: it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. They're washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little bit from land. This language is a little different, but it's out of the New King James, and you'll find out at the end why I used it. And it goes on to say, he sat down and taught the people off the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Say launch tonight. And let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto them, Master, we've toiled all night, taking nothing. You ever been there before? I've toiled, I've worked, I've strained, I've pushed, I've prodded, I've showed up, I've been there, but I just toiled. I came up empty-handed. And goes on to say, and in verse 5, it says, and Simon answered unto the master, we've toiled all night, nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. I can feel faith just rising in here right now. And their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. They said, help, help. The harvest is so great, we need more help. And they came and filled both ships, and so they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. And all that were with him saw the fishes and that they'd taken in. And so was James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. You're not going to catch fish anymore. You're going to catch men. And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, or fill your name. And it says again, it says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Launch. I want to minister tonight from the subject, launch. I believe with all my heart that over the last even 2 to 5 years, there has been, we have come through a season of where we've been fastened to certain elements of our lives, unable to move. Politics have left you landed. Circumstances have left you landed. The virus has left you landed. The economy has kept you on the ground. You've went from loss to loss and disappointment to disappointment. But the Lord spoke to me, and I share it now with you, that this will be a season. This is a prophetic word now tonight. This will be a season of launching. Launching into what, you say? You're going to launch into revival. You're going to launch into healing. You're going to launch into restoration. I, the Lord is so funny, because when you're obedient to him, he'll give you just little glimpses of it. And even tonight was just a glimpse. He's going to give you strategic friendships that will launch you into the next season of your life. He is going to launch your children, and they're going to do what you dreamed you could do, but God's going to do it through them. God's going to enable them to do what you never thought would come to fruition, but you're going to launch in this next season. Not just you, not just your wife, not just your husband, but your children are going to launch into this next season of their life. If you receive this, lift your hand in the house. Father, in Jesus' name, tonight we ask by your Holy Spirit, let your Holy Spirit move in this place. Let your presence be sensed in this place. Let the Word of God be life-changing. Let your Spirit beckon me to flow with the Holy Ghost tonight. Shake this place, Father. Shake our hearts. Shake our mindsets. Shake our spirits. And, Father, launch us into this next season, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When growing up, I've been in a lot of services. I've been a young man in church and seen hundreds of altar calls, hundreds of moves of the Holy Spirit, hundreds of life-changing, altering moments. And I believe for some that'll be this night. But God has done wonderful, wonderful, wonderful moves of the Holy Spirit. And for me, at the point I am in my life, I live for that. I mean, I live for God to begin moving. And last night was such an example of that. We had a men's meeting, and it was packed. I mean, there wasn't a chair left in the place. The table stretched from one end of the barn all the way to the other. My dad looked over at me and said, we got to get another table. And I'm thinking, the barn's not any longer to set any more tables up, Dad. And I just shook my head, yes. But God gives us glimpses of great moves in our faith fellowship and great moves of salvation. Our assignment, though, and your assignment conversion to Jesus Christ is just the first step. And I love conversion. I love salvation. I love making sure people make it to heaven. But what I also love is the discipleship that Jesus Christ promises in the New Testament for you and for me. I want us to convert, but I also want to provide outlets for people to grow in their faith walk. And if you're wondering what's going on, well, why is this group going on? And why is this meeting going on? It's not because we have an ego trip and we want every day of the week filled with activity. It's not for that at all. Please reset that in your spirit. It is to give people multiple opportunities to hear the gospel message. And I want you to know there's people getting saved outside of our Sunday and Thursday service times. There's people giving their lives to Christ, and it's becoming a tool in which the Holy Spirit brings people to the faith fellowship and begins to mold and shape their life. I love the groups, but I want to go further than just salvation. Belief in God doesn't mean that we receive everything that we need in one service or in one moment. The Bible says we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. And I want you to know tonight, and I'm building a small base before I just give you a couple thoughts. It is possible to believe in God and yet subconsciously not achieve all the promises and blessings that God has. Let me take this a little further. Our belief systems oftentimes cancels out the blessing that God wants to send us into. And I know when I start talking like this, sometimes people just click me off because the pain of facing the rabbit wheel that they've gone around and around and around, the pain of facing it is so hard that they just say, Ryan, I can't hear this. I can't listen to this. But I want to keep ministering it because we have not realized all that God has for us. This place has not seen every move of God that it will ever see. God has more for us than there is behind us. And faulty belief systems, we've picked up many, many places. And as I begin to preach this, think about preaching this message and writing notes, last Tuesday I went in for surgery to have my gallbladder taken out. And I begin to speak faith words over my life. I believe I'm healed. I believe, God, that you're guiding the surgeon's hand. I believe that you're guiding the anesthesiologist. But I got to tell you something. I was laying on that gurney, and two belief systems came in both sides of my head. Let me tell you what came into my head. When I saw the lights of that surgical room come into my eyes, I heard, you're going to die. A belief system of fear, and I thought to myself, where is this coming from? Where is this coming into place? But I had two belief systems in my spirit. One belief system said, I believe I'm healed, and the other belief system said, I'm not walking out of here. And faulty belief systems aren't labeled, that you don't come with a label. They're not easily identified, but they do exist. And most people are completely unaware that, and we live in denial of the faulty belief systems that we play into. Faulty belief systems cancel out the best God has for you. You can pray for things. God, I want you to move in this area. God, I want you to move in that area. God, I want to be financially blessed. But there's another belief system that crops up in our spirit on a Friday night that says, oh, I'll just drop 100 in the casino. I'll just have 2 or 3 beers. I'll just text this person. It's a faulty belief system that the enemy sows within us, and it creates contradiction that cancels out the blessing in which God wants to do in your life. The comfort of normal creates a faulty belief system. Here's an example. We provide housing for previously incarcerated folks. When they come out of incarceration, we put them in housing. They call, the county calls us, we put these individuals up, we provide housing for them, provide them an opportunity. We have an employment agency at St. Anthony's on the ground in which we pursued them to run their business out of our building. So when somebody asks me, hey, do you know of any jobs? I can say, well, as a matter of fact, there's an employment agency at St. Anthony's. You can come between the hours of 9 and 4 o'clock. You can apply for a job, and they'll put you to work. Well, what about my background? Doesn't matter. They'll put you to work. Doesn't matter the background. Doesn't matter your history. We'll put you to work. And the individual can get a place to live. They can get a job, and they can show up for a while. And then all of a sudden you hear, where did such and such go? What happened to him or her? And I'm not condemning anyone. I'm explaining what faulty belief systems do. And they do it in us just like they do it in them and they. And all of a sudden, people disappear. And as we talk to people who understand why, I'm giving you the psychological portion of it. Anytime you feel like you don't fit or you aren't welcome or you aren't embraced, you'll cancel out the progress, even if it's destructive to your life. Moving backwards just out of comfort. We will live on the level of our belief system. That's why you can give a person a job, you can give them a place to live, but if you don't give them Jesus as a belief system, it'll all fall away. I have yet to meet someone, and I have met, some of you don't know my background, but I have yet to meet an individual that hasn't had a relationship with Jesus, be given a job, be given an opportunity, and not stay engaged in that relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean all in. I don't mean just a little of this here and there when it looks good. Bless the Lord, brother, sister. No, I mean all in all the time. I've yet to meet an individual that has stayed sober after using. Yet to meet him. Because our belief system needs to be converted. You remember this scripture in Mark chapter 9 where the individual, the father, is asking about the son. He says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. What the scripture is teaching us, it's possible to believe and have unbelief and have the wrong beliefs at certain points. It's a faulty belief system. I believe that I can do better, but my old belief system holds me so tightly that I refer back to it. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Two belief systems that I was educated on is there are environmental belief systems. We believe on the level of our exposure. Let me break it down for you. Who are the people you're hanging with? Who are the people you're surrounding yourself with? Who are the people who you're saying, I got to get coffee with you. I got to hang out with you. I got to be around you. Because if I'm around the wrong people, my belief system is so fast to shrink backwards. I know myself. I know my flesh. I know my proclivity. If I get around those people, I'm going back to the old me. But if we get around people who speak faith over us, our environment will actually shift our belief system. You will begin to dress, you will begin to act, you will begin to portray exactly the people who you hang around. Well, I don't want to be just a copycat of them. When you imitate God in a person, you're not being a copycat, you're learning a belief system that God has predestined for you. You'll be rewarded if you go back to your old belief system, you'll be rewarded. Because they'll tell you, oh, man, I knew you were like that. I knew, you know, you were just putting a front up. And they'll reward you in a minute, and they'll drop you in the next minute. We are affected by our environment. The second way we're affected by our genetic disposition. We inherit perspectives that affect our belief system. what my parents say, what my parents believe, what they didn't say, what they didn't do. Genetic dispositions define the way we process and believe. And some things we carry, we don't even know about. I'm scared of heights. Why are you scared of heights? I don't know. Why are you scared of water? I don't know. I just am. Genetic dispositions that create belief systems within us that we have to identify and overcome. And the longer I'm around, the more I know, you know, I saw that somewhere before. I saw it in your mom. I saw it in your dad. Genetic dispositions that we have to be aware of to overcome belief systems. Never realizing this is passed down from generation to generation. I've never said this in a service before, but I'm going to say it tonight. I know I can't drink one beer. How do I know? Because I have. I have drank a beer. You know how I know I can't drink a beer? Because I have drank a beer. You know why I know that I can't drink a beer? Because I had one beer, and I know from that I drank more than one beer, if you're wondering. You're looking at me like, I know what it'll turn me into. And some of you in here need to know, this is going to turn me in to something. It's genetically passed down. When the weather's bad, I get depressed. When the weather's bad, I go off a cliff. I want to go use. When the weather's bad, I want to isolate. I was just talking to somebody today. I know that when the weather gets bad, I isolate. Identify it and create a belief system around the deficiency that corrects it. I know I can't take direction from people. Get around somebody who's extra forward that'll say, how you doing, honey? It's going to be okay. Let's do it together. I still love you. I know you're mad, but I still love you. Connect the belief system. And yeah, I was talking to somebody, if you're wondering. Connect the belief system around it that helps correct what your deficiencies is. Can I get an amen? Yeah. What I'm trying to relate is what we believe matters. Believing that God will give you a house, believing that God will give you a car, that's great. It's great to be thankful. But God doesn't want to give you a house and a car. God wants to give you the credit to buy a house and a car. He wants to teach you a belief system where you can pay back that and be faithful in the little so you can be ruler over. Oh, God, give me a car. God doesn't want to give you a car. God wants to change your belief system. Culture has dumbed us down to believe that, oh, if I get nice clothes and a car, my belief system's great. That's nonsense. It's ridiculous. Things are great, but God's not wanting to be the Lord over your stuff so you can look pretty and put on a show for people. He wants to change your heart, your life, your soul, your spirit, and change the generations that go on after you. We have a strong tendency to be influenced by the culture that affects us. It affects the beliefs. Church cultures, business cultures, family cultures have power over cognition. Now listen to this, because this is powerful, and I'm going to have to fly through it. Cognition is a powerful force. You get around the wrong people, you'll have no cognition. What do you mean by that, Ryan? You can't think for yourself. Come on with me. Just come with me. Get in a culture, get around it, and some people think they're strong enough. Baby, you ain't strong enough. You get around the wrong culture, you get around the wrong organization, you get around the wrong people, they will cancel out the cognition that God gave you to think on your own. I run from people that tell me how to think because I want to ask God, God, give me revelation on how to think, on how to create, on how to move, on how to build, on how to learn, on how to have wisdom, on how to build wealth for the kingdom of God. God, if you want me to have that, I'll make you my 15% partner. Give me the wisdom on how to build it. And the blocks just start to fall into place. Be careful of the cultures that you get around because they'll cancel your cognition completely out. Conflicting beliefs pull you between your past and your destiny. Conflicting beliefs will stop the progress that you've made. Belief systems, systems of poverty, systems of no education, systems of trying to validate yourself through other people. Belief system, an ideology or set of principles that helps us to interpret our everyday reality, oftentimes used within networks. Oh, I love Trump. Trump was the best president in the whole world, and Biden's the biggest idiot in the whole world. It's a culture, okay? They're both human. They make different decisions. They make boo-boos. Yeah, there's different policy, and I know politics are hard, but we as believers, we have to have the cognitive order to say, you know what? He's my president, but I don't talk to people like that. He's my president, but I don't treat people like that. He's my president, and I have a responsibility to help oppressed, hurting people instead of just getting around a culture of, and we've lost people in the church because I've said, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have said that. We need to have scriptural cognitive order, not just jump into cultures of people and say what everybody wants to hear. Amen? Amen. How fast the culture will cancel your cognition. Remember when the Israelites left Egypt and they danced before the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then when they went to build a visual of what God looked like, they built it to look like Egypt's God. The place that they wanted to leave, they end up building the God that they ran from because they lost their cognitive order and their belief system said, oh, our God looks like Egypt's God. The very thing they hated. Be careful your belief systems don't drive you to what you hated. We need to change our belief systems. Amen. I'm going to give this to you quick. If keeping all the same friends is important to you, just shut me off right now. Shut me right off. I got to keep all the same friends. Got to keep all the same structure. I know this is hard for some of you. I got to keep all the same people around me. Shut me off now. Because when you begin to believe what God has in front of you and a destiny and a purpose out in front of you, there are going to be people all behind you trying to drag you back to what you were instead of letting you run and run with you to who you are. If everybody liking you is important to you, shut me off now. But if doing what God has called you to do is important to you and pleasing God's heart himself is important to you, get ready. What does this have to do with Luke chapter 5, Ryan, is what you should be saying. The lake at Gennesaret, I'm going to tell you. Jesus walks up on the lake. And Simon, who will become Peter, barely knows Jesus. Catch this now, because if you think there's this deep relationship at this point, there isn't. He barely knows him, and he walks up on him, and Simon is in a place where he's fed up. Simon is in a place he's given up. He's on the shore washing his net. He says, I've toiled all night, Lord. And I felt when I was writing this, there's some people in here. You said, I've just been toiling, and I haven't seen the harvest that I want, and I haven't caught the fish that I want. I've just been toiling and toiling and toiling. It didn't work the way that Simon had always received it. I just go out at night, and I throw a line over, and I catch fish. That's the way I've always done it. Why isn't it working now? And your bench because your belief system kept you in yesterday. Oh, that's the way we did it. That's the way it used to look. Before COVID, I never had to deal with this. I never had to go through this. And you've benched yourself because it's not working like it's always worked. And he walks up on him and Jesus brings Simon to a place to teach him your belief system is wrong, Simon. Simon's belief system wasn't working. It worked at one point. And my first thought tonight is when you do it with Jesus, He'll take your little and he'll make it much. My first point tonight is you got to involve Jesus. If what you're doing, it always used to work. We just used to show up and people used to be there and God used to move. And maybe God's not in that anymore. Maybe he's looking to morph it and change it and develop it. And maybe he wants to take you deeper. So he shut the faucet off for you to say, God, where are you? Involve Jesus. And Simon is washing his net because it had worked. And now it doesn't anymore. And he settled on the sidelines rather than get in the game. And let me just tell you tonight, some people are on the sidelines of life. They've thrown their net up on the shore and they said, I'm just washing this. I'm sick of this. I'm fed up with this. And he's justified why he hasn't caught any fish. He's justified it saying, it's God's will that I didn't catch any fish, when all along the way, God is saying, I want to do it, but I want to be involved in it. I want to be in the midst of it. I want to be honored in it. I want to be put first place in every aspect of your life, and then I'll bless it. Jesus wants to get involved with every area. Do it with Jesus. Quitting isn't the removal of the body from a situation. Quitting is the removal of your spirit from a situation. Well, I'll never be involved in that ministry again. I'll come to church, but I'll never be involved in that. You quit. You're here in person. You're going through the motions. You showed up. You didn't quit in body. You quit in spirit. I want to tell you tonight, those of you that have quit in spirit, come on. Pick up your nets. Get back in the boat and get moving. God's got more in front of you, but he wants to be involved in it. When you add Jesus, listen to this. When you add him, he'll shake your belief systems. That's the way we should do it. We should wear dress pants and ties to church every week. I just believe it's unholy. It's just not right. And God will just start shaking that thing because that's a religious spirit. I love people just the way they are. Bring them in broken, dirty, messed up. He'll shake a belief. And I'm using something funny like that, but we've gone through that. Oh, you move the piano? I cannot believe this. That piano's been there for 10 years. God forbid you moved it 6 inches. Who do you think you are? Belief systems that aren't God honoring, they're you honoring. They're me honoring. And Jesus comes out and he says these words, thrust out a little from land. Try it again, he says. My second point tonight, try it again and try it with me. Because listen, Simon, you own the boat. Yeah, it's your boat, dude. You don't have to thrust out if you don't want to. But you know what, Simon? You own the boat, but I own the sea. Belief systems. I've tried that before. I've been there. I've already tried it. And God's saying, just try it again. I know you've done it. I know your belief system says to quit, but just try it again. No more feeling sorry. No more I've worked so hard and nobody's appreciated me. And no more I've toiled all night and they locked me down and they wouldn't let me do this during COVID and they wouldn't let me do that. No more of that. Try it again. You relapsed. Someone's listening to me tonight. You relapsed. So what? Try it again. There's no condemnation in Christ. We love you. Get in here. Get back to work. Get the coffee made. Get shaking some hands. Let's go back to work. Try it again for the glory of God. And Simon's there, and Simon didn't sulk for long. He sulked for a minute. I toiled all night, Lord. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll go out again. And all of a sudden, because he tried again, God begins to minister in a profound way. Jesus doesn't call you to quit. He calls you to try again. So thrust out a little, he says. And Jesus gets on the boat with Simon. Catch this. He gets on the boat. We have no idea what he preaches. Scripture doesn't say it. Look at it later. He just gets on the boat because he tried it again. When you try it again, Jesus gets on your boat and he begins to minister the word of God. And I want you to know tonight, I'm going to launch this year. I'm going all the way. There's no complacency within me. I won't stay down. I won't shrink back. I'm not settling. I'm not being a good old boy and staying safe. I'm going so deep. I'm going so wide. I'm launching so far that people are going to say, holy cow, the kid's crazy. I'm launching into the deep, and so should you. But it's up to you. I'm going to the next level. I'm going to the radical launch deeper that God is calling. In a pandemic, Ryan, yeah, I'm going deeper. Ask my wife, I'm going deeper. She said to me the other day, Ryan, you're doing that too? I said, yeah, I'm going deeper. I'm going as far in as I want to have to yell to God. God, I need you here. You told me to launch. I listened to you, but I need a little help from you. I'm going in that far. And if you're thinking of quitting, if you're thinking of giving up, turn the I'm giving up to an I'm launching into the future that God has for me and for you. My last thought tonight. They launched into the sea, the scripture said. Listen real close, because this will be the best part and I'll be done. When they went out, the scripture says in the New King James, Mom, it says that they were on the shore washing their nets, N-E-T-S, nets. Somebody say nets. Jesus calls them and beckons them out. And the scripture says, not me, the scripture says in the New King James that he dropped his net, N-E-T. So he had nets on the shore. He had nets up there to wash, and Jesus beckons them out. Let's go into the deep. Let's go further. Let's go deeper. Let's go wider. I've got something for you in particular that's so powerful. And you know what Simon does? He does like a lot of us do. Just give me one net. He won't notice. Just give me one of them. It ain't going to be that good. He can't do that much. Who's he think he is? This could never happen. Takes one net out into the sea. And the Bible says he was washing nets on the shore, and he only drops one net into the water. And what happens? My last point tonight, you're thinking way too small. You got a scarcity mentality. You got a, am I going to have enough? Is everything going to be okay? Are we going to make it by? Are we going to do okay? And you've limited the blessing that God would have you have. The belief system says, I'm only going to accomplish so much. But God says, don't look at the seen, but look at the unseen. You're going to get in good trouble. You're going to have so much that you're going to have to say, Carol, I need your help to get this. Kathy, I know you're retired, but can you come help me get this? Can you come help me bring them nets that I left up there? And listen, put them in your back pocket so Jesus doesn't see what I did. I had no faith. I had no hope. I went out with only one net. Save me the embarrassment, though. Jump on your ship and come out with me. He's going to give you strategic partnerships. And this is what I come all this way to know. And I know I'm a couple minutes late, but I come a long way to say this. There's people all over this room, and I knew it when I wrote it, that thought, this is me. I haven't caught what I was supposed to catch. I haven't brought in the load that I should have brought in. And you've recited it over and over and over. I could never make up for the time I've lost. How many of you have thought that? Lift your hand. Some of you are lying. I never could make up the ground that I lost. You know what the greatest part is? Jesus didn't speak the fish into existence. He didn't say, let me multiply them in the sea. All he did was send Simon out to catch what was already there. There our blessings in your lake where you've been. Well, if I launch, I got to leave. No, no, no. He didn't leave and go anywhere. He launched exactly where he had been, in the same place, but his belief system was different. How many of you say, Lord, let me make up for lost time. Stand with me. Lift your hand if that's you. Those of you that are at home tonight, if that's you, lift your hand right in your kitchen. I pray for a new belief system. I pray for a season of launching where bad decisions, where sin has thrown some off course. Bad belief system has thrown some off course. I pray by your Holy Spirit that God, you do what you do so well. You make up for lost time. Your word says that you'll make up for what the canker worm and the locust has stolen. I pray that over each one that has lifted their hand tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would show them tangible results in this season. Let us launch. I pray over this house. I pray over this church. I pray over this place for a season of launch. Let it launch. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you so much. The Lord is good. I love you so much. My dad's got something great Sunday, 8:30, 10 a.m., 12 noon at St. Anthony's. And if you can stay, we got a whole lot of food in the out back there. We're going to eat together and have a good time. And we're going to do something else that's extremely godly. You want to know what it is? Watch March Madness. Amen. We'll see you in a minute. Love you, those of you that are at home.